There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the More Culture Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Scott Telford, joined by Josh Brown.
Hello.
And Ash Millman.
Oh, hello.
Do you guys like the Xbox?
Yes.
Good.
Ooh, synergy.
The only two people in the office with Xboxes, apart from, I think, Rach has one. It's such a seldom seen system, apart from the fact that we tend to gather every now and then and talk about stuff. What?
Whoa. Here's the thing. I love my Xbox.
Do you?
That's not to say it's not carrying a load of dust back in my flat. I can't remember the last time I booted the Xbox up.
Right. I think it's strange whenever I come across someone who only played, for the longest time, I think you only played Xbox.
Yeah.
And then you eventually got a PS4.
Xbox 360 and then Xbox One was all I had until last year when I got my PS4, and I'm slowly working through exclusives now, which means it is gathering dust, but I tend to use my Xbox as like an entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
So like it has all like my Netflix accounts, it has Shudder on there, it has the Amazon
pins.
Stuff. Yeah, I got my pins. It's a nice time. But Sky, so we use it for all my TV stuff and you can play Blu-rays in it, and then the PlayStation is for the actual gaming at the moment.
See, okay, so that's the thing. So the reason we're going to do a podcast is basically I wanted to dissect where the Xbox brand has been for the last generation and where it seems like they're going. Because there's some great stuff for the future in terms of what they seem to be planning for the next generation. But also, where are you guys just in general on Xbox? Because that kind of, your example there kind of tells me all I need to know. Because it's the same way, like I have an Xbox too, but I never just sit and play it. I only go to it for like the exclusives every 2 years.
I tell you what, a really good thing about Xbox, what I used it for mainly and still use it for now, is when I do get a game that's released on both platforms, I will get it on Xbox because of the Xbox sharing system where you can buy them online and then share it with another person. So like I can share it with my dad or with someone else.
Yeah.
And then we can either pay half of the game each, like pay the money half, and we both have a full thing on our system, or he'll buy one and I'll buy one, and then you can just share a game. So it's a really good way of saving money on games because of that sharing system. I don't know if PlayStation has the same thing. If it does, then my point is completely
Well, they do have share play, but I don't think they have anything in terms of like the dual ownership thing.
Yeah,
it's mainly just like,
yeah,
I don't know, you're on the same system, but
you get wrong for it, I think, on
they don't like it.
PlayStation. They don't really like you doing that.
Yeah, so I've kind of split these notes up into three phases. So we're going to talk about the mistakes that Xbox made this generation, because there's some big ones, and then we some stuff that went well, because there are some things that went well.
Yes.
And then we're going to talk about the future. So if you go back to the original like launch of the Xbox, everyone remembers the Don Matrick, the horrific tire fire that was the release thing, where, you know, they were trying to get across the idea of like digital rights management and the idea that you buy one game once and you'll share it and whatever. And then, you know, the idea of like constantly connected internet connections and how does that affect the system? And then that like quote where someone asked Don Matrick, like, well, what if someone doesn't have an internet connection? He's like, well, just go buy a 360. And it was like, that was the quote that like was heard around the world.
Thanks, Don.
Just sort of like I kind of think that the PlayStation got so far ahead because the launch was so like mishandled on the Xbox
side. Well, this is it. I remember when, because Sony obviously announced their console first, and I remember their big press conference, and I was watching it, and I had a 360 at the time, a Champion, and Microsoft and stuff, and I watched that PlayStation 4 unveiling, and I thought, well, this is good, it's exciting, but there's nothing here really pushing the boundaries. And I was just thinking, well, when Microsoft come around, they'll have something really special, because Sony set a bar that could easily be surpassed in my eyes, and then they came
the PS3
around.
Was like,
they sort of tanked it. I think the PS4 at launch, I think it's gotten much better now, but the features they had in place could have been easily beaten if the hubris didn't get to Microsoft.
Yeah, that's the thing. I agree. I think Xbox One should have very easily blown, from the point it was at with Xbox 360, it should have blown PS4 out of the water, but then they've absolutely dominated the market.
I always think it's strange because like they tend to go like back and forward across each generation. Mm. Like, you know, at one point the PS2 is on top of the world, and then all of a sudden the PS3 is not very good, and the rise of Xbox, then that flips over again, Sony takes back over. So like history would dictate that in the next generation it's going to be Xbox and they'll come back again, and for whatever reason Sony will sort of put a foot wrong again. Because I wonder how much like greed gets in the way. Like there was that whole thing on the PS3 side where they were like, it was like $800 or something to get the first launch PS3, and their comments at the time were, well, you'll just get another job to pay for it.
Oh
my
God.
No, like what kind of approach to selling something is that?
I think Sony have come a long way as a company, and they've sort of realized, I mean, I can't remember who it was, but they did an interview recently about the mistakes of the PlayStation 3 and how they didn't want to repeat those, and they acknowledged stuff like the price, and obviously they did that at launch, but they seem very set in not wanting to get back into that position where they have this fall from grace. I think Microsoft are still primed in what they're planning now to maybe take over for the next generation, but I think it's going to be a far closer race than it was over the past five years, 6 years.
So a few other things I've got written down here is like the cancellation of Scalebound. That was a pretty big deal. I think a lot of people associate Scalebound with that with the console.
That was like their saving grace thing. That was they're going to be their exclusive. Like Gears of War and Halo is all well and good, but it's not Scalebound.
Well, that brings me to my next point. In this case, Halo and Gears weren't all that good. Like I like Gears 4. It's completely solid. It's fine. But like JD Phoenix, it ain't no Marcus Phoenix. And Halo 5 had this, like the same boss battle 4 times, and it was just a bit meh. And so even they had like, you know, these things that used to sell Xbox 360s and got people invested in the first Xbox just didn't carry it through. Like,
I guess like audiences grow up a bit as well. Like, because you have all these games when you're growing up on that system and stuff. Like, there isn't really, I don't know, you're going to absolutely blow me away with a good example now, but there isn't lots of franchises you can think of that last that well from childhood to
Devil May Cry 5.
No, okay, Devil May Cry 5.
Yep.
Doesn't count, Scott. That took 10 years off.
It took 11 years off.
But no, you know what I mean? Like, there isn't something that's continually busting out the good stuff. So if they're trying to, like, it's like film franchises when they squeeze them out to the very end and it's like, you know, that's not going to do anything. It's like, let Gears go, let Halo go.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Come back and do it when it's good again.
We'll get to this stuff later. But, like, yeah, that's the thing. Like, Microsoft's first party studios are named after things from those franchises. Yeah. Like, 343 Industries named after 343 Guilty Spark, and the Coalition is from Gears, the Coalition of Ordered Government. Yeah. So it kind of boxes them in. It's like, we are Xbox, these are our franchises, and they've already announced like Gears 5 and Gears Tactics, or whatever you call that tactics based game. Yeah. They're still going forward with these franchises again.
That's
it's
it.
Like
I
they
think,
need more.
Well, when it comes to Microsoft's exclusives this generation, it's been about continuing established brands. Whereas obviously, Sony have had a lot of IPs that started on the PlayStation 3 that have carried over, but they've either returned to end or they've restarted again. Mm. Like God of War and Uncharted are both sort of synonymous with the PlayStation 3, but Uncharted finished on the PlayStation 4, and God of War had this rebirth where it was completely different, whereas Gears 4 is just it's an attempt at a rebirth in a way, but it's very much a continuation of what came before. It's very much the same kind of game, whereas PlayStation have either brought old IPs back in a way to reinvent the wheel or introduced brand new ones and relied on those like Horizon or Detroit or Bloodborne.
And then, and even like going forward, like Sony has like Ghost of Tsushima and Days Gone, like, you know, and Death Stranding, like they have these potential like massive like single, well, not single player, but like, well, they will be, but like, you know, independent first party franchises that they can hold up and be like, cool, we have our own body of titles now in a way that Nintendo does. I've got Sea of Thieves down here as well, because that was meant to be a big old deal.
Yes.
And
it tried.
It's a really good first 20 minutes, and then it's just not after that. I don't know if did you guys play Sea of Thieves?
No.
Did anybody at all?
No.
I think I told about my friend playing it and being absolutely obsessed with it on the beta, and then being like, oh my God, you've got to play, you've got to get it. I missed the beta, and then it was like £60, and I heard every single review absolutely panning it, and then it had to go out on Game Pass.
This is it, right?
What
guys?
Is it?
I'm really riled up at the moment because I bought an Xbox One specifically for Rise of the Tomb Raider, because that was originally
exclusive to Xbox. Though,
and that eventually came to PlayStation 4, but I had things to look forward to. I had Crackdown 3, which I was so, so hyped for. I had Halo 5, I had Gears 4, I had Sea of Thieves. I was so excited for all of these games.
Are you Don Maverick?
And here's the thing, I think I might have bought one or two when they actually came to, when push came to shove. I bought Gears 4. I played Halo 5, but I only bought Gears 4. I didn't buy Sea of Thieves. I didn't buy Crackdown 3.
Right.
Because they just seemed to either disappoint or not be worth me booting up and dusting off the Xbox to actually invest in them.
I had like this big like hype around them, like my one friend getting sucked into all this. But then like the fizzle was so real. Like they had all of the markers of the good things that came from 360, and then absolutely just like
it just didn't. I don't know. Like the momentum fandom that was there for the 360. Like, people loved the 360, whether it's the Blades dashboard or like the idea that you could get your, you can put like MSN into it and keep in touch with your friends. And
it's just great.
Yeah, they had like this like really great brand feel. People liked, people loved to be part of that Xbox family, the hell you want to call it, on a branding sense. And they just didn't carry it forward. It was like the launch was a bit naff and all the exclusives were a bit naff. And then, yeah, even something like being able to deliver in the end, like Crackdown 3, like that just didn't get there. Like, there's stuff like Ori and the Blind Forest and Cuphead and Sunset Overdrive that are like solid. I mean, Ori's like phenomenal and Cuphead's great. Yeah. But they're not big system sellers, like not in the same way that something like a Gears should be or a Halo or whatever.
No.
So I had that stuff down. I've got another point for the Xbox itself. Like, they've got better, but obviously it launched with the Kinect. And then just for me, I really don't like the Xbox dashboard. I know you just like sang its phrases before.
Oh.
But I just think it's so clunky and it's like, it's kind of slow and it's unresponsive and like, it's just...
Update your system, man.
Josh is nodding. He's the thing. This is something that it may be very personal. I can't wrap my head around. There is there are certain things about certain interfaces. I have this with Netflix and
Netflix
Xbox
is barred,
One, where I look at it and it makes me sad.
Yes.
It doesn't make me feel comforted. When I boot up the PlayStation 4 and I get this like lovely blue hue and I get like the nice sounds, I'm like, oh, I'm really cozy playing this. I don't know why. It's obviously a very subjective thing. Mm-hmm. But when I'm scrolling through Netflix, I feel a bit sad.
Netflix is horrible.
Netflix is complete toss. I think it's worth saying as well with the Xbox One that the design team that did the 360 didn't do the Xbox One. They gave it to a completely different wing of Microsoft or whatever, Xbox, which made no sense, but you could tell. Like, I think they just wanted like this different like approach. Oh, it's a new generation or whatever. And obviously they had to, initially it was like, it can't run without the Kinect. You need voice commands. And then everyone went, well, F that. And went, oh God, okay, we'll take the Kinect out and maybe we'll get it off the ground. But yeah, my whole thing is that every month it rolls around and it's like the new games with gold are out. Where the hell are the games with gold? Where are they on the Xbox dashboard?
Okay.
They're not there.
The store is
It's not on the store page. It's not on the homepage.
No, you've got to go to the store, which is, so you got to press your bumper until you get to the store. And then you go to store, and then you go to deals, and then you go to memberships, and then you click on Games with Gold.
That's insane.
And then it's not very clear.
That's insane.
But
like,
you can get there.
Well, you can get to like the North Pole if you're like determined enough. It's not a thing. Like, it's, sometimes you'll get lucky and it'll rotate it through on one of the adverts on the homepage. Oh God, there it is. It's there for this month, but next month it might not be. For me, they never got the actual feel of using an Xbox down. Like, there is enough there to sort of like in a functionality sense, but like in terms of what you're accessing. But I just thought the actual feel of it is like the most clunky ass thing.
I tell you what, I'll give you that completely. I've had problems with the Games of Gold thing. I like the actual setup of getting to your game and pressing the Xbox button and getting the like pop-up panel, which has everything you can get to. That's really neat and nifty. But
took them like 3 years to do that, though. There was like snap functionality for a while. It is nice. But that's the thing, they just went back to doing what was on the 360 again, like the universal home menu. So that kind of stuff is a bit, it could have been a lot better. And you're saying like it feels weirdly off-putting when you first got it.
Yeah,
it's like
there's just something
industrial
about it.
Kind of feel
to
exactly.
it. Yeah, exactly. I get all of the genuine clunkiness with the AI, but also just the feel of it makes me sad.
I know what it is. It's because it's Windows 10. It's the Windows 10 interface where it's like, here's some block color shit. I can say shit, we're not on YouTube anymore. It's fucking shit. And,
oh no.
I bet he gets wrong for that later.
Yeah. Probably, yeah. But there's that whole thing where I just think that the general feel to using it is bad. So that's the end of the things that I've got for the major negatives. Did anything stick out to you guys as being major negative that I've missed out?
Oh, I have a big soft spot for Xbox.
Okay.
Well, I like Josh's point about the music, actually, just to bring it back to the interface, because the PS4 music is comforting. It's nice. Mm-hmm. You put it on and you're like, ooh. I mean, it's Sparkly Forest.
The Xbox
like,
music?
It's like, ooh.
What are
no,
the music?
PS4 music.
Oh, yes, okay.
Because the Xbox One is just dead silent. So I turn it on.
Yeah.
I have it. Like, as you click on things.
It's just, the cold, like, corporate face of Microsoft trying to get you to play their games. But that's a nice pivot into the things that went well, because I think that this helps us prep for the way that they're going to go next gen. But stuff that went well this generation is Game Pass, which is just, like, you pay one monthly fee, and it's like, here's a shitload of games. Said it again. And it's like, here's everything from the original Xbox, the 360, the new stuff. All their new exclusives are just there. I mean, I tried Sea of Thieves because it was on Game Pass. That was, like, their first big game that launched on Game Pass.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys have given a shot or not, like them
Game Pass
thing.
Or Sea of Thieves.
Either, but Game Pass.
They gave you a free month. They gave everyone a free month for a bit, and then you can earn other free months, that sort of thing, I think. But yeah, I tried it for the free month and had a great time. Played that Twisted Sister game loads, which I always
Twisted
end up bringing
game.
Up. The Gianni Sisters, Twisted something. It's
do you have any idea what you're talking about?
No.
It's a big platformer where you run around and you two little sisters. Anyway.
I'm not sure that's real.
I don't think that is real.
It's on the Game Pass. Go and play it.
Is it though?
Yeah.
Because I think you might have made it up. But not to worry. Yeah, the whole idea, though, of just you pay one fee and it's like, here's access to a whole archive. Like, I finished DMC5 and went back to the... I thought I'd just look for the 2013 one, and it was just on there.
Yeah.
And it's like Jedi Academy's on there, the old Star Wars games are on there. And I think that's one of the only parts of the Xbox brand that have done that's done very well and is, like, promising for the future. Another thing down I've got down is cross-platform? Yes, cross-platform play. Because they partnered with Nintendo and sort of did the Fortnite cross-platform stuff. Do you guys care about cross-platform? Because I don't.
In a way. Like, not when it comes to specific multiplayer games. Mm. But I like these rumors of Microsoft teaming up with Nintendo to deliver Xbox Live on, like, a Nintendo Switch system.
That seems insane.
It does, but I would get it. You know what I mean?
Would
if you
know?
Have that synergy, if you could somehow... Yeah, I would, because My PS4 is my main system, and I want to boot up those other consoles. I play the Switch quite regularly, but I barely at all play the Xbox. Mm. But if I could somehow get a synergy between them and make them into one great super system that I could share, then I'm here.
Like the old PS2 supercomputer that was like 50 things put together, almost started World War III.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good rumor. You should look it up. But I did the whole cross-platform thing. I like the idea of them branding it in a way where it's like Nintendo versus Microsoft or Sony versus whatever. It's like fight for your team and all that kind of weird console war-y type 90s shiz.
But Sony are never there is the thing. I feel like the way that Xbox appears like a big family, nice, like give you a hug, like welcome.
Xbox does.
Yeah, come play your games. Whereas Sony are like, give us money or give us death. Like they don't like cross-platform things. Whereas Nintendo, Nintendo and Xbox are always like, yeah, let's go play. Let's do things for games.
I think
for Sony's like, no, you're going to pay me. You're going
to
like
We're in the lead. And you get if you want this, you're going to have to cough it up. I think that's only the case, I think, on Microsoft's side, because they are so far behind that they need to be nice.
Yeah.
I think Nintendo's overall like vibe has always been that.
Yeah.
That's
Nintendo's
all like rounded
nice.
Kind of approach. But but they seem to be approaching stuff like that. And to like certain, you know, something like Fortnite or Rocket League, like, you know, you can cross-platform them on everything now.
Yeah.
So it seems to be maybe the way that the industry is going overall. Another thing I've got down is backwards compatibility.
Yeah.
Which, like, I remember when they came out at E3, I think it was 2016, and just said, we're going to do backwards compatibility on, we're just going to do it. Like, because initially it was a thing they weren't ever going to do. Mm-hmm. But have you guys gone back to older stuff, or do you like the idea of playing a legacy of stuff?
Because you can put in your old discs, and then it just downloads the thing for you as well. So I put, like, my Xbox 360 collection on there and stuff. Like, and I had a great time, because it just puts it, it's all in one place.
Yeah.
You've got a digital library of it. You don't have to have it installed, and you can go back to it at any time, because it stores it for you. So I think it's such a good, and again, player-orientated idea that it's like it should be on all the consoles. Mm-hmm. Like Nintendo have their own library as well, don't they?
They seem to be intent on making people pay for the same game over and over and over again.
Yeah.
But like the Nintendo Switch Online, the new service, is hopefully the last time we'll have to do it, because you're finally on the license for that game if that's the way that they do it.
Yeah.
But in terms of backwards compatibility, like initially it wasn't going to be that, like it was assumed that it's not going to be very viable. Mm. But when they put, it was Black Ops 2 they put back on sale.
Yes.
And it went back into the top 10. And it's just sort of like, okay, like there is like, you know, you can make money off old games again. But I like that approach.
Me too.
Like old school stuff.
It's like the only reason, well, not the only reason, but it's what I usually boot up the Xbox for if I want to go back and play an older game. Like I went back and played Far Cry 2.
Oh.
And I'm about to go back and play Oblivion. That's what I'm going to go back and play. Potentially this weekend. I was actually asking
Oblivion
Ash
backwards
about
compatible?
This. It is, I think so.
Ooh,
I hope it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean, I've bought a whole bunch of like older stuff as well. Like I said, the Jedi Academy game, like 2003 or whatever the hell that came out. And like, there's, I think Halo 2 and stuff is like backwards compatible on there as well. Even though it's in the Master Chief Collection as well.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I think that their approach of saying like this is Xbox overall and all your memories, you can just play those memories again. I'm kind of waiting for all the companies to do that.
That's it. I mean, like...
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Before we go any further, I want to talk to you about today's sponsor, Masterclass. With the amount of time we spend discussing and analyzing video games on this channel, it's always good to understand exactly how these experiences are put together. And fortunately for me, I can do just that with Masterclass. With Masterclass's streaming service, you can learn from the best to become your best, studying and growing with over 200 plus of the world's leading instructors. For me, I've been having a blast using a class on video game design by The Sims creator Will Wright to find out exactly how game mechanics are designed around player psychology, as well as learning how important playtesting is to shipping the titles that you and I both love. But it hasn't stopped there, as I've also been brushing up on my practical filmmaking skills directly from my favourite movie director, Martin Scorsese, as well as trying to get back in the cooking game with Roy Choi's amazing course on intuitive cooking. Seriously, my kitchen is a mess, but my belly has never been more grateful. For just $10 a month, an annual membership with Masterclass gets you unlimited access to courses on your phone, computer, smart TV, or even via audio-only modes. Even better, every new membership comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and 88% of members feel that the service has made a positive impact on their lives. And to put the cherry on top of that cake, right now, What Culture Gaming listeners get an additional 15% off any annual membership at masterclass.com/gaming. That's 15% off at masterclass.com/gaming. What's that? You want it one more time? Well, that's the URL, masterclass.com/gaming. Right, now I'm going to watch Tony Hawk try to teach me how to ollie properly. I'll see you all soon.
You can easily criticize Microsoft for only having a console that you want to go and play legacy sort of software on. Like, it's not really a good look that I want to go back only to play Oblivion on like a brand new console. But when it's taken into account with the stuff they're doing with crossplay, Nintendo, and the Game Pass, they are sort of pitching the Xbox and Microsoft as a whole as kind of like a platform rather than like a single year system. Like, you can get these experiences and a full legacy and a wealth of experiences across a multitude of different kind of services.
Which I love.
That is awesome. That's something that Sony definitely doesn't have. Mm-hmm. And I think this is very much them forming the groundwork for what they're going
to
do.
I wonder how much they have to lead into that this gen, because they just didn't have the exclusives.
That's the thing, though. Yeah. Because they have lent into it, and because, like, I know I've just earlier literally pied off Halo and Gears 4 and said it's time to die. But like, their thing with carrying on, like, they are a persevering brand, as they have room to come back again because of all this thing where they can just go, right, we're going to lean back on this legacy stuff, but we're still going to be here in 10 years' time from all of this stuff.
Well,
so
I think,
respecting it, isn't it? Like,
yeah, I think that's how they tick both boxes, though, because it's like Halo and Gears had their time. They were two of the biggest franchises of the 2000s. Like, yes, you can do new installments, but they're never going to reach the height that Halo 3 was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, shutting down Times Square when it was on launch day and stuff. Yeah. Like, you're never going to get back to that. But like, if you can put that game disc back in and just play it again, then like, that lets them kind of do both things.
Yeah.
In terms of other things that went well, I was trying to pick out Microsoft franchises that did well. Forza's doing pretty well, but the main Forza games, not as much, because Forza 7 was roll the dice for your loot box and get an exhaust. It was bad. And then Forza Horizon, though, is brilliant. I can't say it. You have to bleep it. I can't do it. You've got to use other words. It was poppycock. It was bad. But the main Forza games sort of went off the boil, let's say. But the Horizon games are great. They're like the nearest thing to like a Burnout sequel kind of thing. And Cuphead I've got down here as well. And I guess there'd be Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there are some memories associated with positive Xbox stuff.
There's still stuff there. Like Forza, like you said, is still selling really well. There's just not the consistency with it. Like Cuphead, Ori, all of those games are really, really fun. And I think will come to define the Xbox One as we sort of look at it retroactively, but it's just the consistency of the experiences and the fact that AAA has obviously let them down quite a bit.
That's the weirdest thing. If I ask the question now, like, what games, like, like, personify the Xbox One, like, what is even Sunset Overdrive? Like, there's not a whole lot.
Honestly, for me, I think it's Cuphead.
Nice. Yeah, maybe it is Cuphead. I remember when they tried to like hang the Xbox One X's reveal on that, because they had nothing else that was ready. It was sort of like, look at the 4K graphics on this 2D thing.
I just really love them. I just want them to do well. Like, honestly, I just want to hold them and say it's okay. Like, your time will come again.
Yeah.
That's it. I think it's fine to sort of write off this generation now for them. They obviously got off to a bad start, and they've tried. Phil Spencer has done a pretty good job of trying to write the ship.
Phil Spencer,
a lot of things have gone wrong. The cancellation of Scalebound, the complete travesty that was Crackdown 3 and
unusable
those multiple
console
delays.
Itself.
But what they are getting in place now with all of these business decisions and all of like the studios they've acquired, they've just acquired a load of great
Stop stealing my
studios.
Notes for the
Sorry,
future,
Scott. I can't see them.
I'm getting there
this
soon.
Is it. All right, then. Segue after this.
We'll segue after this.
So they are planning for the future. I think it's fine to write off what they've done now and just be like, okay, it's fine. You know, the generation is winding down anyway. Show us what you've got next.
I kind of wonder at what stage of this gen they had to just accept that. Yeah. Where like, you know, the first party stuff or like the exclusives just weren't coming together and it's like, actually bin this off and we'll come back next time.
I'll tell you what, it's remastering Skyrim from 2011 and having to have that as their tentpole, like lean on it.
Yeah.
Not even just them, but like-
It is weird.
I keep just making noises because I keep thinking about it, but like-
I think that, I mean, if that is a noise that exemplifies their approach to this generation, it's just kind of like, maybe, kind of. Something else I got down as something that went well this generation was the adaptive controller, which I just love the idea of, because you think about, like, you know, anyone who's like remotely disabled or anything, like, they're just, it's a sector of the industry that never gets approached. And like, Microsoft took that step forward. They put so much money into R&D. And apparently the adaptive controller is like brilliant, like regardless of like any sort of ailments you might have or whatever, you can just pick that up and get into games. And I think that that's like a part of the industry that like just needed to be fixed, needed to be sorted. And so apparently the adaptive controller, like, you know, Sony doesn't have an alternative, Nintendo certainly doesn't, so it's like you know, there's potentially, like, going forward, that'll be something that the other companies should weigh in on as well.
Can you remember HoloLens?
Okay, so when I was researching this, we actually did an article a while back on like ways the Xbox One is secretly beating PS4 and Switch, and it was all these sorts of things, like these infrastructural things, and one of them was HoloLens. So I do remember that was their attempt at VR. And then what were you going to say though?
Just remember it. Like, it seems like, again, like Microsoft have flaunted so many different potential things over the past few years, and very few of them have actually come together. Like HoloLens, that got a big showcase at one of their E3s, I think, and then haven't seen it since. Don't know what's happening with that. It's kind of like the cloud technology with Crackdown. Again, I don't want to pin it all on Crackdown, but they mentioned it as if it was going to be the next big thing. Hasn't been talked about.
Well,
Crackdown
since...
really upset you? Like, you've heard it a lot.
Crackdown is Ash, I was looking forward to Crackdown so much.
That game was so good on the last generation too. Yep. Like, all they had to do was like reskin it and do it better or whatever, but. Yeah, so we can move into the some of the future stuff. The first thing I've got down is that the new Xbox getting revealed at E3 is diskless, which is one of two SKUs.
What?
The other ones, yes. Have you not seen these things?
Diskless
system.
Yes. No disc. Okay.
So they're going full in on the Game Pass side, basically. Yeah. So it'll.
Ooh.
I know, but it's not the only Xbox. There's going to be two. So you've got you've got the diskless one, which will have Game Pass and assumedly some massive couple of terabyte hard drive to just store everything. But that's their sort of play for that side of it. And then the other Xbox, which apparently, like, I forgot what its code name is, but that one's going to be the super powered one.
It's Maverick and Anaconda, isn't it? Because I remember Anaconda.
Yes, I think Anaconda's the big one, and I think Maverick's the little small one. Of course it is.
Storage, hun.
Yeah, good and bad, that, but definitely something that's going. I guess, what do you think of that? They're moving completely into, at least trying one of their main SKUs being totally digital.
Well, I like the idea of them diversifying their hardware. They've already done that, and Sony have this generation by having the iterative Xbox One X. And the PS4 Pro and the Xbox One S and the regular Xbox One and the Xbox with Kinect and everything else.
It's like buying a phone. It's just like, just give me the one that works.
Exactly what it is, which is scary. But I think more options are better. And I think there may be people out there who right now, like you guys were saying, only boot their Xbox up for Game Pass to see what's on there. So then you would just want this kind of cheaper version where you can just get that content, and then there'll be obviously people who are after the world's most powerful console and will want to spend a bit more. Yeah. So I don't think options are necessarily bad, and it helps Microsoft as a whole not pigeonhole themselves into one specific thing.
I would love it if they get like the diskless system, new Xbox, like call it, I guess it's literally just called the Xbox All Digital Edition. It's like, okay, nice, rolls off the tongue. But like, fine. If they redesign the dashboard so it's like, it's nice and smooth and you have access to like...
dashboard.
But they need to make it work though. It needs to work. Make the pins work, but like do something where like, you know, you turn it on and it's like every month it's like, here's your games with gold, here's like the new games that got added to Game Pass, and everything downloads really fast. And if they maximize the whole you know, when you sort of something installs for a little bit and you can play it before the rest of it's installed, if they maximize that tech, then, you know, you have access to a huge library really fast. And if it's diskless, then maybe everything just works a hell of a lot faster.
I tell you what would like sell it for me with this whole all digital thing is if they did it like a Netflix account, where you have an account on your Xbox Live thing and five other people can sign up and play all the games that you have and that you've to pay paid for and downloaded. And I wouldn't even mind if the price of games went up to compensate for that as well.
Ooh, but like, don't say that too loudly.
No, but I wouldn't. If something costs like 70-ish, which isn't that far up from a game now, but yes. 3 to 5 people can play it and chip in on it to have it on this one account, then...
Maybe, yeah. God, like a shared revenue program would be a hell of a thing. And speaking of accounts, though, like, because you were mentioning cloud tech before, they have like brought that stuff back. It's called xCloud. So this is where it gets weird, but in kind of like a cool way. So the move that Xbox has for next gen is to become an app, to become Netflix, ostensibly, to become like a service that you access everywhere. So like it'll obviously be dependent on country, because you have to have, like, you know, different countries have different infrastructures as far as Wi-Fi is concerned, the average signal and all that kind of stuff, signal strength. But xCloud, the idea is that you would, like, you could log in on your phone, you could log in at home or whatever, and everything would stream in. And I think that's a hell of an idea, like treating games as, like, well, it's literally games as a service, but in a way that might actually be good.
That old phrase,
gas. But yeah, I think if they did this, like, but the thing for me is I don't see myself playing Xbox games on my phone, like on the train.
No, nor do I.
But then again, I don't watch Netflix on my phone.
It depends, like, because I'm always like, oh, but Xbox. But if it was stuff like Ori and Cuphead and all that sort of thing, that does lend itself a bit better to like iPad-y, phone-y sort of play if it's platformers. But like, you wouldn't want to boot up like a big AAA game. Like, you send it like a battery, a big AAA game.
Double D.
And then try and play it on your mobile, because that's just...
But that thing, though, it's like, what are they going to do for like processing power, and what quality game are you getting? And then it's like, well, how much do the physical consoles even matter anymore if the one you can stream in is from some hub that plays it better than ever or makes it look better than ever?
Yeah,
but you're just playing a video feed, really. Like, they're just streaming it.
It's definitely not there yet, but it's indicative that we are seeing a lot of companies, not just Microsoft, moving towards that. Obviously, Sony's PlayStation Now isn't great, but it's kind of doing that, and Nintendo have done it with Resident Evil 7, that's streamed from
only in Japan, but another thing to take note of is on the PlayStation side, the latest firmware update, you can stream stuff to your phone. Like, you've got to be within a certain radius, but you can play Red Dead on your phone, and I don't ever want to use touch controls, but like, it's weird. I'll just say the examples they have there is like, it just streams the feed in, and it's like one-to-one, there's no delay or no lag, assumedly. But the way that it does the control scheme is it's just overlaid on top of the screen, so like L1 and R, like L1 R1, the back triggers are just like two buttons at the top of your phone screen, so you're like tapping all of it. I just kind of hate that,
like,
to be honest.
Octopusing your phone.
Yeah, you're sort of like playing it like a keyboard. It's just like, it's kind
of
weird.
I'll tell you what, though, I hate the idea of playing any of these games on my actual phone. Yeah. But it's they released a peripheral or a handheld that you could stream it to, and it had actual buttons. That is great, because I like the idea of games becoming more portable and more accessible, because I love about the Switch. I never play Switch in dock mode. I'm always on the couch and just playing it there.
Right.
And I love, like, the size of it. It just feels about right. So if I get something like that for my PlayStation or for my Xbox, I want it. I don't want to play it on phone, but I want to...
It needs a Chromecast. Like, it just needs to plug in. And then you can do it as a projector, but take your remote wherever, like, within, like, a 10-meter radius. Or, I don't know how big that is. It doesn't sound very big. Enough radius where you can sit in the other room, project the screen onto, like, a wall or something.
Right.
And then be able to play it like that.
Can you remember when... I think it was Sony who had the PlayStation TV or whatever it was. Yes. Well, all you needed was a DualShock 3 or maybe 4. And then you could just jump in and kind of play. It was rudimentary. It didn't quite work. But that idea as a concept is something absolutely worth exploring, I think.
As far as I know, their connectivity is Bluetooth, and you can pair Joy-Cons to a phone. So I think you can pair a DualShock to a phone. So it's like, you could potentially make it work that way. Sitting on the train or on the bus or whatever, streaming Red Dead 2 in as you've connected your controller to your phone. Like,
Have the controller have the projector in it, so you hold the controller.
Some of the projectors, all the projectors.
And it projects it in front of you in like a 3D thing, so you can sit on the train and just splay it in someone's face, and you'd be like, "Well, I'm playing Red Dead."
Everyone's just watching you playing Red Dead.
Yeah, literally.
I don't want people watching my footage. But
what are you doing in Red Dead?
What are you doing, Scott?
Not something that I want the whole world to see, especially on an enclosed space.
Just get all the baths, don't you? That's what you do. You go to the houses and you get a bath, and
they say, "Do you want a hand?" I say, "Yeah,
yeah."
I want both hands, and then do it again.
No.
Anyway,
it's like that man who's in the man in the. The man is in the stables with his trousers around his ankles and a sheep.
Where? Yes.
What? That's like a hidden.
I haven't found this man, but I also don't ever want to, so it's fine. The next thing I've got down is that they've been buying up studios. Like, they bought Obsidian and In Exile. Because The Outer Worlds, which is like Obsidian's like ongoing RPG when they got bought, is still coming to PS4. But after that, it'll be Microsoft exclusive. expensive, assumedly.
Yeah.
So, like, that's a massive thing for the next gen. Like, you have, like, kind of the fan favorite RPG developer only making stuff for Microsoft. So,
What if they spurt all their good ideas on Outer Worlds and then it's only all, like, rubbish stuff afterwards and giving it away?
Obsidian have got one of the best track records in the business.
It's going to be amazing, but I'm just worried for Microsoft because they've got this big, like, reputation at the moment of being a bit duddy. So, I hope it's not a bit, like.
They are a bit duddy at the minute. Yeah. I think, I think their three-prong attack is, like, diskless system, all digital streaming, Game Pass, and then exclusives on the other side.
Yeah.
If they can bring it all together. Also, they've been setting up new studios as well, which there's a whole bunch of them, but the one that I picked out was, they're called The Initiative, which I hate the name of.
Ooh.
But
they always have those very official.
Yeah, it's cool, man.
Yeah.
Where's The Initiative from? That's from a game, isn't it?
Probably every video game, to be honest. I mean, what game doesn't have an initiative in it?
To be fair.
But anyway, the thing to be excited with with these guys is that they're pretty much a super team of devs. Like, they just put a video out very recently, which treats it like a superhero roll call where it's like, this person works in Treyarch and this one's from Square Enix and this person's from Rockstar and this person's from Activision or whatever. And it's like, assumedly that would then, you know, there's so much talent in that room that like maybe...
Power rings in the middle!
Yeah, it's literally like, you know, power up or whatever. So yeah, that seems to be something that like they're putting big stock in new first party studios, which is good to see because Sony's doing the same thing. They have a little secret studio in San Diego, but like no one knows what they're working on yet.
Ooh, is it Uncharted
5? Rumors are Uncharted 5, but does anyone want Uncharted 5? No. Different... podcast, but
another,
maybe
another do you care because it's an extended series thing.
Go on.
Well, there you go.
Are you going to drop another one?
No, that was the comment. Do you care because it was good in the day, or like is it? It's not.
Oh, I think Uncharted 4 is like the best, one of the best like newer sequels that kind of recontextualize its original.
Well, there we go. They got the right idea then.
Well, maybe they do, but
they're
it's not Naughty Dog.
Xbox with
it's
their
not Naughty Dog doing it though, so there is that. So yeah, so the last thing I've got down is just the continued backwards compatibility, which we've already kind of covered. But like, I guess the final question is just: do you see them going forward with this idea that you're buying into Xbox the same way you buy into Netflix? You're buying into a catalog more than whatever the latest thing is.
Yes.
Do you think that's a good enough thing
for
them?
But I don't think it's going to sustain them for another generation because I think everyone's going to start doing this. I think you're going to get that from Sony where they start appealing to that crowd. I think even Nintendo, I mean, maybe. Who knows what the hell Nintendo is.
Nintendo makes the most sense and they just won't do it. Like, just put all the Mario Brothers in one place. Yeah. It's not hard.
But Sony isn't going to miss a trick on that again. No. They're absolutely going to double down on that. So I think Microsoft will as well, but if that's going to retain to be a unique selling point for them, I doubt it. I think they will go ahead with it, but it's not going to define the next generation.
I think you've got Sony or have oh my god my words
it's okay.
Sony have a like a head start, not a leg start. Sony have a head start in the industry right at the moment because everyone's going, whoa, they're so amazing, and Xbox have some making up to do first is the things they've got to come out the gates absolutely smashing it for everyone to go, okay, maybe we'll travel back over here and see what this is.
I think you'll see a lot of like fan-focused stuff on the Microsoft side where it's just sort of like, I mean, you've already got Game Pass, but I think a lot of their deals will encourage people to just, they'll have a drastically, that diskless system, that'll be so cheap.
Yeah.
Because it's just, and then plus as well with Game Pass, like you can buy a cinema ticket right now and you'll get a Game Pass free trial. Like they're getting it in front of people as much as possible. I don't think it'll maybe like sustain across the whole gen, especially when everyone starts to do it. Because on the PlayStation side, they've already invested in, if you believe the patent that leaked, full-on emulation of every disc across the last, you know, everything that we've got so far. So maybe.
It's going to happen.
I'm excited. I mean, I hope that that's what we get. So yeah, I'm pretty excited and I guess we'll just see how it goes forward. But for now, this has been the What Culture Gaming Podcast. You guys can find us on social media. I'm on Twitter @@LP89. Mr. Josh Brown, where are you?
I'm on Twitter @JoshBrune with two O's.
And Ash, where are you?
I'm everywhere. But I'm on Twitter @AshMilman. Two L's in the Milman.
You just have to make it hard. Why do you have to make it so hard?
You're Brune.
My name.
Yeah, I suppose you're
right. I mean, I'm /LP89. It's like, what even is that?
You know what? When I first started this company and I had to try and search to follow you on Twitter, I was like, I know it's
/my real name.
I did that and it didn't come up.
Oh, did it though?
It was the same with Ewan because his is slightly different. It didn't work. Just get your name and your Twitter handle.
Okay, so yes, it'll be @LP89, @JoshBrune and @AshMilman. So
yes.
Find us, say things, and we'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye. Cool.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to PrettyLitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.